This morning and next week, I want to speak on the subject of worry. Now, I know there wouldn't be anyone that worries here, but just in case there might be someone listening on the internet, I want to talk about the fact of the cause and the cures for worry. The cause and the cures for worry. Someone wrote this: worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but doesn't get you anywhere. We live in a society, particularly in our days, that is gripped by worry, gripped by anxiety. I like riding my bike down along the coast and to Nobby's Beach, and then out past Nobby's Beach, past the lighthouse, and right out to the end where you have that big walk along the edge there. But when you get to the end of Nobby's Beach, the north end of it, there's what I call the worry sign. Before you start on the walk heading to the lighthouse, there's a sign, and this is what it reads. I took a photograph of it the other week. It says, "Please be aware, high winds, shifting sands, snakes, vermin, bicycles, water edge, falling rocks." Now, when you're at the north end of Nobby's there, and if people have recommended you to go on the river walk past the lighthouse, this is what you're confronted with. And I just wonder how many people read that sign and they turn back. And they miss the opportunities of walking along the riverside, past the lighthouse, and right out to the edge where they can breathe the ocean air and see the waves coming in. It's absolutely beautiful. I mean, who would want to go on a walk where there's vermin, shifting sands, high winds, falling rocks, and killer bicycles? Who'd want to risk it? We know, I want to encourage you today, if you've got the time, brave it. Go past the sign, step out in faith, walk along the lighthouse walk, get to the end, and breathe in the air. I was down there the other day, you breathe in the sea air, and there were pods of dolphins at the end of the walk. You know, if I'd believed that sign, I would have missed out and seen the dolphins. We live in a society that worries. It's very interesting about that sign also. It neglects to mention one thing. There are huge waves that go over the walkway when the sea's up. Gigantic waves. This afternoon, maybe tomorrow. Go out. Brave the mice. Brave the rats, the vermin, the snakes, the shifting sands, the falling rocks. Breathe in, go to the end, and breathe in the sea air and get soaked by a gigantic wave. One author wrote this: worry is faith in the negative, trust in the unpleasant, assurance of disaster and belief in defeat. Worry is wasting today's time to clutter up tomorrow's opportunities with yesterday's troubles. In Matthew chapter 6, the Lord Jesus commands us not to worry. If I can leave with you three phrases this morning, I want you to remember these three phrases. Faint not, fear not, and fret not. Faint not. Psalm 139 verse 10 says, "Thy right hand shall hold me." Faint not. Fear not. God is with us. Remember what God said to the nation of Israel, his people? Isaiah 43 verse 1, "O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I've called thee by name. Thou art mine." Faint not. Fear not. Fret not. Read Matthew chapter 6. Our Heavenly Father loves us. Our Heavenly Father knows our needs. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to trust God's word. Then you'll faint not, you'll fear not, you'll fret not, and you won't have a knot in your stomach. A magazine article wrote about anxiety and Australians. It said this: Western life has become a perpetual cycle of technology, sleep deprivation, and spectacularly high expectations set by social media. All is clearly not well, says social researcher and author Hugh Mackay. We are a society in the grip of epidemics of anxiety, obesity, and depression. 20% of Australians experience some form of mental illness. It is already clear that many of us are severely stressed by the struggle to keep up with the rate of change in our lives, and one of the consequences of that stress is anxiety. Mackay says that while anxiety and depression are not confined to any particular social or economic stratum, life as a young person is more difficult for millennials than it was for previous generations. That was written back in 2018. Now, what about the anxieties of Australians living in 2020? Well, I've got to say that it's far different than 2018. Think about the start of this year. There was drought gripping much of the nation. Then there was the bushfires, which made world news. Then the coronavirus hit. And then we were hit with the lockdowns. And the lockdowns have resulted in isolation, unemployment, and numbers of businesses going to the wall. Unemployment for huge numbers of Australians now. 2020 started really as a year of worries and turmoil for many people, because our world in 2020 now is a world where most people feel uncertain. Uncertain of what is going to happen next week. We are seeing states closing their borders. We are seeing cities shutting down. This year is a year, indeed, of uncertainty. I read an article on Friday and it says, as the number of coronavirus cases rise across Australia, the level of anxiety within the community is increasing. Constant media coverage about the coronavirus can keep us in a heightened state of anxiety. A look across the nations reveals that the world indeed is in great trouble, which is producing great fear amongst the world's peoples. But we can be thankful. We have God's word, and God's word addresses anxieties and worries. Have you ever thought about what the cause for worry was? Where did it all begin? I began to think about that the other day as I was preparing for this message. The cause for worry begins in Genesis chapter 3. And in Genesis chapter 3, we know that Adam and Eve rebelled against God. And we see the first human beings in a worried state. Genesis 3 verse 8, Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. We get a picture of Adam and Eve after they sinned. They are hiding from God. They have anxiety about meeting the living God. And they're hiding. Worry came into the world because of sin. And sin has affected all humanity. We're in the line of Adam and Eve. Their sin, the causes of distress has been passed on to the whole human race because of their rebellion and our rebellion. I want to ask you, have you ever met a person that has never worried? I mean, sometimes you do get a glimpse of a person that is so calm, They're so calm that they actually stand out from the crowd of Christians. Have you ever met a Christian like that? You can just see that there's implicit trust in the Lord Jesus. They just trust Jesus for their provision. They trust Jesus for their protection. They just trust Jesus day by day. It's a pleasure to meet people like that. There's no one in history but one who has never worried. And the one person that has never worried implicitly trusts his Father in heaven, and that person was the Lord Jesus. No one can claim to have not worried in their lives except the Lord Jesus. Well, we know that Jesus never worried. Why didn't he worry? Because worry is an offence against a holy God. Worry is saying, God, I don't believe your promises. And Jesus believed the promises of his Father every single day. He never doubted his Father. He never doubted his Father's love. And you might say, well, Jesus wept. Yes, he did. But it wasn't worry. He grieved over the sin of humanity. He grieved over the rebellion of Israel. Jesus wept. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with all our griefs. But he was a man that did not worry. Think about a couple of things in the life of Jesus, a couple of times. Remember when Jesus was on the boat and these experienced fishermen, they're absolutely terrified. The waves are huge on the Sea of Galilee. What was Jesus doing? He was asleep. Implicit trust in the Father. Implicit trust that God was in charge of creation. And Jesus is asleep up the back of the boat. And these frightened fishermen go and they wake him up. And the Lord Jesus calms the storm. The Lord Jesus can calm the storm of your heart. You might be troubled. There might be a lot of waves in your life. Might be a lot of turmoil now, but it's the Lord Jesus, the man who never worried, who can calm the storm, and he can calm the storm of your life, any storm, no matter how big it is. Remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? Now, some people would look and see in the Garden of Gethsemane that Jesus was a worried man. No, he wasn't. Jesus agonized. He agonized in the fact that he was going to become sin for the whole human race, that God was going to pour upon him the sin of all humanity. But he was not worried. Jesus said in Luke 22:42, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus one day stood before a man that had the power of life and death in his hands. He could order people to be crucified. He could order their destruction. That man was Pilate. And when Jesus stood before Pilate, he was not worried. The Bible says in John 19, verse 10, this is Pilate talking to Jesus. Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you? Was Jesus worried? This is his answer. You could have no power at all against me unless it been given you from above. Pilate had the power to crucify Jesus, and Jesus looked him straight in the face and told him that his power, he had no power against him unless it had been given from above. Worry is sin, and Jesus never sinned, and therefore Jesus never worried. On the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Was Jesus worried? No. He was experiencing what a sinner would be like when they're cut off from God. It was not worry. It was a cry of separation. Jesus was experiencing the fact that he was becoming sin for us. He was paying for our penalty on the cross. It was not a cry of worry. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. What a testimony on the cross. Trusting his Father to the very end. And that testimony made an effect on a centurion. Jesus never worried. He had a testimony of trusting his heavenly Father even to the very end. The book of Hebrews says this, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Worry is a temptation. Was Jesus tempted with worry? I believe so. He was tempted in all points like us, yet without sin. He never failed. He never worried. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In Matthew chapter 6, the Lord Jesus has profound teachings on worry. Verse 25, he says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Jesus here in this passage tells us what people worry about. They worry about their lives. And if you look at that word there, it's the whole of life. People worry about the whole of life. They worry about their food, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. They worry about their food. They worry about their fashion. They worry about their families. There are so many things that people worry about. But Jesus gives us a command. He says, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? You know, worry is a great sin. You know that worry actually casts doubt on the attributes of God. You see, God's attributes reveal his character. And worry casts doubt on the perfect character of God. Let me just give you a couple of examples. Worry casts doubt on God's omnipresence. Now, what's omnipresence mean? Well, it's a characteristic, it's an attribute of God, which means that God is everywhere at all times. I don't know if you ever got on the Sydney buses in the old days, in the days of the 60s there, the double-decker buses, and there'd be a little yellow sign there, and the little yellow sign would indicate that you were boarding a omnibus. An omnibus, what's an omnibus? Well, omni, it's a bus for all. A bus for all people. Omnipresence means that Jesus is in all places at all times. And when we worry, we are casting doubt on the attribute of God of his omnipresence. Why? Well, when I'm in difficulties, he's right beside me. Where can I go from his presence? But when I say, No, God, I don't believe you, that you can provide for me, or I don't believe that you're with me, or I worry, you're actually believing that God is not with you. Worry casts doubt on God's omniscience. It's a hard word for me to say, but omniscience means that God is all-knowing. He's all-knowing. He knows our worries. He knows our concerns. He knows our needs. He knows our relationships. He knows our families. He knows our sons and daughters that may have gone away from the Lord. He knows those that have not come to him. He's an omniscient God, an all-knowing God, an all-powerful God, an all-providing God. And when we worry, we're actually coming against God's attributes. We're doubting the attributes of God. Hudson Taylor, the famous missionary, said this, Let us give up our work, our plans, ourselves, our lives, our loved ones, our influence, our all, right into God's hand. And then when we have given all over to Him, there will be nothing left for us to be troubled about. Good advice. Just give everything to God, all our worries, all our trials, our family members, our work situations, just give it to God and there'll be nothing left for us to worry about. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, that's God and wealth. Jesus says this just before he starts on worry. He says, you cannot serve two masters. Who's your master? Is your master the Lord Jesus? Or maybe is your master worry? Is your master worry? No man can serve two masters. Now, the same God that gave us the Ten Commandments is the same God that said, don't worry. That Jesus is God. And the Lord gave us the Ten Commandments. And the same God that says, do not steal, do not commit adultery, do not lie, the same God says to us today through his word, do not worry. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, or what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? The causes of worry are many, but Jesus can take care of every single worry. He gives us an example. Look at verse 26. He actually gives us the cure. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Our Heavenly Father feeds the birds. I used to have chooks, and I knew how important it was to feed my chooks, to care for my chooks, to lock my chooks up. Very, very important. The last place that I lived in, the last manse, we had a chook pen. The yard here is not big enough for a chook pen, but we had a chook pen. But I cared for my chooks. I made sure that they were out of danger. Chooks are great. I provided for my chooks. And Jesus says, look at the birds of the air. God provides for them. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? My chooks never got on a tractor to plow. My chooks never got on a harvester to harvest. My chooks relied totally on me and Judy for their provision. God provides the food for birds. Your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? You know, we're of more value than chooks. We're of more value than birds. Human beings are the pinnacle of God's creation. Yet God provides for the animals. Now, I think there's another lesson here for us. When I say that God provides for the birds, he provides for the animals as well. When you think about birds, they leave their nests. When they're old enough, there is effort for a bird to get its food. And I believe if we are well enough, if we are not retired, that it is biblical for us to work in society. It is a biblical thing for us to work in order to get food. Notwithstanding that God is our provider, But it's biblical for each of us to be working in our lives if we're able or not too old. Proverbs 19, verse 15, laziness casts one into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. Proverbs 20, verse 4, the sluggard will not plough by reason of the cold, therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. 2 Thessalonians 3, for even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Our Heavenly Father provides food for the birds. But there's no Uber takeaway for the birds. Uber just doesn't come, the Uber man or the pizza man just doesn't come and make the home delivery. The birds have got to get busy. The birds have got to work. The birds have got to look for the food that God provides for them. You know, if you're retired, and numbers of people in this church are retired, they've worked many, many years and they've saved up and they're able to retire, that's wonderful. But I believe that if you're retired, there's still work to do. You have the opportunity, more opportunity than when you're involved in secular work, to serve the Lord. And while you're able, and while you're not infirmed, there is a job to do. Just as the birds of the air are about their work day and night, in the day, I should say, we should be serving the Lord. Here's a good verse for retirees. Psalm 71, verse 17. O God, you have taught me from my youth. So the psalmist is grateful that he's heard the word of God from his youth. And to this day I declare your wondrous works. So the psalmist is declaring the work of God. Now also, when I am old and grey-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. There is a psalmist thankful that he's received God's word in his youth, but he doesn't want to be put aside. He wants to declare God's strength to the generation. He wants to declare God's power to the generation to come. There's always a spiritual harvest to be involved with. Do you know, I'm in contact with some people from time to time in nursing homes. And there was a request the other week. There's this tract which is on the coronavirus, and there was a request that came within the walls of a nursing home of, I think it was a lady that wanted 100 of these in her nursing home. There's a person in a nursing home that still wants to witness for the Lord Jesus. There's a lady in her 90s down near Narrabeen in a nursing home down there. She rings me up occasionally. And she asked me to send her stuff. She has a passion for the Lord, and she's had a passion to reach others, even in the nursing home. Jesus knows about worry, and he cautions against it. People worry about their lives. People worry about their sustenance. People worry about their clothes. People worry about their future. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? You know, worry can't add a single moment to your life. It's like the rocking chair. It gets you absolutely nowhere. Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Jesus says in Matthew 6, 31, therefore do not worry, saying what we shall eat, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Look at the birds. They trust that God is going to provide. Look at the birds. They're busy about the work that God has designed for them. They sing songs in the morning. You want a cure for worry? It's in the Word of God. Want a cure for worry? Look at the birds. Faint not. Fear not. Fret not. Faint not, he holds you. Thy right hand shall hold me. Fear not, he is with you. Fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. Thou art mine. Fret not, he loves you. Our Heavenly Father knows your needs. And aren't you much more precious to him than a bird? Let's pray. Lord, help us to be anxious for nothing. Help us to realise the sin of unbelief that's tied up with worry. Lord, help us to be people that believe your promises and trust your provision. And help us to be a people of praise, knowing that you loved us so much. You not only provide for us physically, but you provide for us in the spiritual sense, in the fact that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for we who are wicked sinners, so that we can have a home in heaven, so that we can sing praises to you throughout all eternity. Father, we thank you that you care for the birds, that you love humanity, and that you sent your Son to die for each of us. Lord, I want to pray for anyone here this morning that might be anxious, that might be overcome with worry or fear. Help them, Lord, not to fret. Help them not to faint. Help them not to fear, but help them to trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.